Mem Amud Aleph, 11 lines down at the new Mishnah. Mafkid Peiros Eitzel Chaveri. Let's say I deposit some produce with my friend. Hareze Yoitzi Chesreinus. When he gives it back to me, he can deduct that which is the standard amount to be the loss, and we'll see what the case is. I underline the chitin la'ores. If I had deposited wheat, or let's call oires rice, although it's probably not rice, something else, just call it oires. So tisha chatzai kavin lekor. He would be able to deduct for every kor I gave him 9 half kavs, which is essentially 2.5%. He'd only have to return to me 97.5% of what I gave him. I underlined here, l'sa'erna l'daychan, for barley, or for dochan, some sort of maybe millet, tisha kavin likor, 9 kav for each kor, which is a ratio of 1 to 20, or 5%. He can give back 95%. So if I gave him, 100 kilos, he would give me back 95 kilos. Likusman, it might be, that's a weight. It might be also a bulk measurement, but I think it's a weight. Likusman, was there a pishtan for spelt or for flax seeds? Shalosh sa'in lakor, 3 sa'in for a core. There's 30 sa'in a core, so it's basically 3 for 30. It means 1/10. So he gave either of those. The one who gives back 90% of what was deposited. And says the Mishnah, kol lefi hamidva, kol lefi hazman. It all depends on, like, that goes for each kor. It's not like that's the total amount, it's for each kor. And it also depends on how long it was deposited. Was it a year? This is a yearly depreciation. And therefore, it's like 2-3 years later, there would be a greater amount. Am Rabbi Yochman Nuri, Abbas Rabbi Yochman Nuri. He says, v'chima ichbis lehen lakbarin. Like, what difference does it make to the rats or to the mice? V'aloi oichlin. They'll eat bein meharbe bein mikima. Where there's a lot of stuff there, a little stuff there, basically the same amount. Ella eino yoytzi lechesroinus. You do not deduct. The one who had somebody else's produce deposited by him would not deduct. Ella lekor echad bilvad, for one kor. So even if they had deposited 2, 3, 4, 5 kor by him, it's only this deduction for one kor. Finished. Rabbi Yehuda, who he boxed. Oimer, he says, im haisa mida meruba, let's say there was like an enormous amount deposited by him, I don't know, like 10 kor maybe, then he would not, the one who had it deposited by him when he's returning it, deduct those losses. Because we'll see why, but mosiris, they are more, they increase, we know there might be a greater, it's probably not weight, but great, maybe even a greater weight, but definitely a greater bulk when something has got a little bit of moisture in it as opposed to when it's bone dry. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Oirez, when you're dealing with Oirez, Tuva Chaser. We had said in the Mishnah, there's only 2.5% loss for Oirez, but it's a lot more than that. So Amar Rav Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, but Oirez Kaluf Shanu. We're talking about peeled oires, that there's 2.5%, but if it's that there's a 2.5% loss, but indeed if it's unpeeled, there would be a much greater loss, probably because the husk dries up and falls off, and that is a not insignificant part of the bulk. Lekusman, Lezer Pishtan, Gimel Sain Lekor, for spelt and flax seeds. 3 sub-record, like 1/10. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya, Zera Pishtan. When we're talking about the flax seeds here, we're talking Begiv Oilin Shanu. That's with their husks. That's why when it's returned and the husks already dried up, you can return only the one who had it deposited by him only has to return 90% of the bulk that was given to him. Tanna Mihalchi, we have a brace that also bears out this point. It goes almost 2 lines till the 2 dots. Lekusman ule zera pishtan bigi voilin. I underline bigi voilin. When you're dealing with spelt or flax seeds in their husks, ule oires she'inai kalif, or when you're dealing with rice that's not kalif, then shlesha sain lekor, the ratio is 1 to 10. So deposited 10 units, you give back 9. Mishnah said, Akolafiyamid, it all depends on how much. Tana, we have a little brisa that elaborates on that, goes to the end of the line. Chein lechol kor v'kor, this is a ratio per kor. V'chein lechol shana v'shana, it's also a per year ratio. So if you have two kor, it's twice as much, three kor, three times as much. And it's also a yearly rate, so if it's deposited for 2-3 years, each year that's how much it less is given back. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Tanya with a brisa, goes about a line and a half. Amrulai, they said to Rabbi Yochanan, Harbe oivdois mehen, harbe mispazois mehen. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, well, how much can like the rats eat at the end of the day? They said back to him, well, there's a lot that gets ruined of the peros, not all of them are still good. And also, you know, a lot of them get scattered sort of in such a way that they cannot be retrieved. Tanu, we have another little brisa, also about a line and a half. This whole thing that if somebody deposited peros by his buddy, he comes back to get it, there's like, you don't give the whole amount, that's, here we're going to qualify it, it'll make a lot of sense now. When is that? That's b'she'irvan in peirosav. When he, let's say he deposited, I don't know, 20 pounds of flour. Well, he mixed that 20 pounds of flour into his flour. Aval yichel lekeren zavis, if when he brought his 20 pounds of flour, I don't know, in some sort of receptacle, there was a designated little corner for his stuff, then clearly over there, he just says, here, take your stuff back. Whether it's the exact same amount, whether it's less, it makes no difference because it was never mixed together. That's the end of the brisa. The Gemara, though, has a question. Well, like, so what if you mix it together with your peiros? You know he gave you 20 pounds. Lechsi ledidei kama havyan. So, like, why don't you see how much you have there? So if he's 20 pounds of his stuff, and you mix it into 20 pounds of your stuff, then you give him back whatever he's entitled to. Well, the problem is, b'mistapik mehen, you've been using that as your supply of chitin. Okay, well, then want to keep... Just look back at how much you use. Velechsi kama istapek? Well, because you weren't keeping track. Deloyadi kama istapek. And therefore, so it was like in a big receptacle. You've been using it because you had your stuff in there. You also had his stuff in there. And like you don't know, so you give him back based on these ratios. Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im haisa. Kama mida meruba. So Rabbi Yehuda said, if it's a big amount, then you don't take the chesrainus. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Asara Kor, and 10 Kor is considered a big amount. Tanin Amihachi, we have a little brisa, 5 words that brings out this point. Kama mida meruba, Asara Kurin, 10 Kor. Tani Tana Kamedra of Nachman, there was a brisa sayer over who said the following two-line brisa to Rav Nachman. Beds med from Amurim, when is that? That we go according to the Mishnah, that you take off these percentages depending on how many years have passed and what the item is. That's Shemadad Lemitaych Garnoi. That's where the original measuring of how much there was done by the threshing floor here, the Hichsir Loi, and it's returned Lemitaych Garnoi at the same sort of time of year, the same place. Of Almadad Lemitaych Garnoi, if it was measured out during the threshing time, during the harvesting time, during the processing time, v'hichsul emitoich beisai, and it's being returned from stuff that the fellow has in his own home, inu yitzul echasreinus, then there is no deduction for these potential losses, mimnei shemoisirois, because they are larger. Amarle. So that was the brisa that was said over to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to the brisa sayer over, well, 1 second, v'chi be'shuftani askinen, we're talking about outright fools and idiots and morons, diyavi b'kaila rabba. They'll deposit their stuff with somebody using a larger measure, v'shakli b'kaila zut, and they'll take it back using a smaller measure? Who does that? So the Gemara explains. Dilma, when it says, mitoy groina, what it means is that time of year. Dilma b'yemois ha'gairin ka'amris, and we do a halchi kamar. So we reread the two lines in egg source, and it starts here. I put the right angles in. Bemed varma murim, when is it that you have these percentages deducted when the person that had deposited by him is giving it back to the owner? Shemad adlai, that's where it was measured out. Biyemais hagayren, I squeal on the line. Biyemais hagayren, let's call that dry time, I don't know, June, July, the Hichsur Levi Mois HaGarin, and it was returned during the Mois HaGarin. However, Avalmada Levi Mois HaGarin, let's say it was measured out during the summertime when everything's very dry, and it was returned middle of like December, January during the rainy season where it's much more humid, there's much more moisture in the air, there's much more moisture for the grain to absorb, then when it's returned, the return, there's no deduction at all, because the nature of these things is during the rainy winter season, they expand a little bit because of the moisture. That's the end of the rereading. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, so Rav Papa says, well, one second, you're telling me that they expand a little bit in the wintertime, Yimkein, Lifka Kada. Why don't we say if you have a receptacle, which you packed full, let's say, of grain in July, come December, January, they should burst because of the stuff is getting bigger. Have uvda, it once actually happened, upaka kada, and the jug burst because of the increased pressure. Ibai, same alternatively, that no, it wouldn't. And this is a concept I think of, like we have nowadays, a vacuum pack. You get your Turkish coffee vacuum packed. It's packed together so tightly, the vacuum does that, it pulls out all the air. But mishum itzitsa, Rashi says, is the doichak, the pressure, because it's under pressure, it will not expand. Says the Mishnah, yaitzi lo shesus le yayin, if somebody deposited wine, you give them back 5/6, you take off 1/6, and Rabbi Yehuda Imer Chaimish, you give them back 1/5. No, 1/5 is what's taken off. You give the person back 4/5. So he either gets back about 83% or about 80%. Kama, Yotzi Le Shleisha Lugin Shem and Lemea. And if it's oil that was deposited by you, you give him back 97%. You take off 3 lug. And what's that 3 lug that you're taking off, giving him less back? Lug umechsa shmarim. It's 1.5 lug. 1.5% is the sediment. Lug umechsa bela is the absorption that the barrels absorb of the oil. Kama ima yeshem mezukak. Let's say the oil was pure oil. Eino yaitzi leishmarim. Then you do not deduct for the dregs because there were none. Im hayu kankanim yeshanim, and if the receptacles, the containers were old ones, like they had already pre-absorbed whatever they'd absorbed, ein yotzei bela, you also do not subtract any for absorption because there was none. Kama Rabbi Yehuda Omer, let's box Rabbi Yehuda again. Af ha moicher. Up until now, I think we've been talking about somebody who has something and deposits it with somebody else. Here we're now talking about somebody who's selling. Af ha moicher shemen mezukak lechaveru. If he sells pure oil to his friend, kol yomai sashan, during the rest of the year, harezeh, the purchaser, the lekeach, mekabel alav, accepts upon himself lugumech sashmarim lemeya. 1.5 lug per 100, so 1.5% of the total. Says the Gemara, velo pligi, there's no machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, marki asrei u marki asrei. Each one is saying according to what the practice was in their place. Kolon ba'asrei, demar, in the place of the Tanakama, chafu bekira, they used to line the inside of the barrels with a type of wax, veloi maitzitfe, and it wouldn't therefore absorb much, so you wouldn't really have much absorption of the oil into the inside of the receptacle. Hafer ba'asrei, demar, in Rabbi Yehuda's place, chafu bekufra, they would use some sort of pitch or tar, umayitzitfe, and it would absorb more. Kama ibai same. Alternatively, mishum gargishta. The gargishta is the type of earth or clay that the barrels were made from. Ha maitzitfe, some absorbs more. Vahaloi maitzitfe, and some doesn't absorb as much. Period. Basri Rav Yehuda, here's a little maisa. So in Rav Yehuda's place, ramu, they would put arboin utamni kuzi bedana. The typical dana, the typical barrel, would hold 48 measures. A kuz, I think it's literally like a cup, it could be a big cup, but 48 cups. When I say a cup, I don't mean like 8 fluid ounces, whatever the kuza was. Anyway, 48 kuzas for each dana. Now, how much did a dana, a barrel of oil, sell for? Azil dana b'shisa zuzi for $6. comma, Paris Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda sold Shisha Bezuza. He would sell six cups worth for a Zuz. Now he bought 48 cups worth for six Zuz, and he sold six cups worth for a Zuz. So let's see if there's six and there's 48 cups in the Dana. So he would sell Dal Tilson Vishisa Be Shisa. So he would, you have to take off, and we're going to figure out what his profit margin is here. So you take off Tilson Vishisa 36 Be Shisa. So 6 times 6 is 36. Pashule Tresar, and you're left with, well, what's 48 minus 36? 12. Okay, now there was also, we said, 1/6 of the oil got absorbed into the walls of the receptacle, Dal Temanya, so out of 48, 1/6 would be 8 Shesusi, that's the 1/6 that would be absorbed. Pashulahu, and I guess the profit margin was Arba, 4 out of 48, or a profit margin of 1/12. I don't know, about 8%, 8 point something percent would be the profit margin, 1/12. Well, 1 second. Don't we know that when you're making profit, you're allowed to make up to 1/6 profit and not more? V'amar Shmuel hamistaker, one who wants to profit off buying and selling, al yistaker yoiser al shesus. It can't be more than 1/6. But if it's exactly 1/6 or less, that's okay. So why was he only profiting 1/12? He could profit up to 1/6. Ika gulfiu shmarya. The Gemara clarifies that you have the gulfies. His additional profit was the empty barrels and the sediment at the bottom. Well, 1 second, ihochi nafish le tfei. If that's the case, then his profit margin would be greater than a 1/6, which you're not supposed to do. Well, no, because ika tarche udme barzenaisa. There were other expenses. In other words, what we're doing is we're taking all the various expenses into account. There was the effort involved and the time and the travel, as well as the Dmei Barzanaisa, which is the fee you'd have to pay to the person who put the tap in the barrel. It was like a profession in those days. Obviously, you don't want to have a non-professional put the tap in the barrel, then it could start leaking, and that would be terrible. And altogether, that basically came to a 1/6 profit margin. The Mishnah said, "Im hayah shemen mezukak ein yotzei leshmarim." If it was pure oil, then there's no deduction for the shmarim, 1.5%. And we had also said in the Mishnah that if they're old barrels, they basically already absorbed, then there's no deduction for the absorption. Asks the Gemara, "V'hai yefsher delay bala?" Well, what do you mean? There's no deduction. It's impossible that it wouldn't absorb anything. Well, it's actually not impossible. Rav Nachman mezufafin shainu. We're talking about where they had been lined with some sort of tar or pitch or waterproofing. You could even say where they were not the barrels lined with pitch. Cave unto tone. Once the barrel had absorbed everything it can, that's basically no more can be absorbed into the container, the jug. Says the Mishnah. Amar Abaye. I circled Abaye. He's going to give us quite a lengthy analysis of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda and Shitas Chachamim. And about 17 lines down or so, last words in the line of Rav Papa, I circled Rav Papa. He's going to respond. So says Abaye. Kishatimtza loimer mitsui, when you squeeze out the essence of what's going on over here in the Mishnah, Ladivir Rabbi Yehuda, according to what Rabbi Yehuda said, mutter la'arev shmarim, it would be allowed. Let's say you have a container, and at the time of the sale, all of the ickies have settled to the bottom. You'd be allowed to sort of mix it all up when you're selling it to a customer. Whereas the Divrei Chachamim, it would usher l'arev shmarim to do that, would be forbidden. Now let's go over each side, colon. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, double underline the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, about 13 or 14 lines later at the end of the line, it says the Divrei Chachamim, I double underline the Divrei Chachamim. So let's analyze each side. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Abaye just told us it would be mutlar shmar. If I'm a seller and I'm about to sell some of my thing, I could mix up what's in the barrel there and then sell it. Fahainu taima de mikabel, and this is the reason that the person who's going to receive the 98.5% will take it. Da amarle, for the seller can say, hey, listen, buddy, if I wanted to, like 5 seconds before you asked for this stuff, to mix up what's in the barrel, would I not have been allowed to? Hashtanami kabo. So listen, if I only am giving, you're paying for 100, I'm giving you 98.5 units, accept it. Comma. Well, 1 second, valet malay, why wouldn't the buyer be able to say back to the seller, e arvis lay, if you would have mixed in the shmarim, have mizdavein li, then that would have been fiscally sensible for me. We're assuming that this fellow who's buying all this stuff has probably got his own store that he sells little units of it, and therefore he would have been able to sell like that also. However, hashta, my e-ovid light. Like, what would I possibly do, theoretically, if you gave me like a clump of, I don't know, a lug and a half of shmarim? Lechude le mizdavenli, because on its own, I can't sell. Basically, I can sell when it's mixed in, but if it's on its own, it's not worth anything to me. Well, the Gemara explains, but balabayis eskina, we're not talking about a retailer who's got a store, but we're actually talking about just an individual who's got his house, the balabas de nichale betzila. He would much prefer to only get 98.5% of what he paid for, because he wants the pure oil. He doesn't need the shmarim. Valei malei. Well, 1 second, why wouldn't he be able to say to him, me delay arvisly, achuli achlisly, if I'm paying you for, you know, X number of units, this much money, then, you didn't mix it up, so just give me the pure stuff. Well, this would be Rabbi Yehuda the Tana Latame. According to reasoning, we have heard him say elsewhere, delay slay mechila, he doesn't hold of this, that what a person does shows that he was meichel ditznan, like we see in the following Mishnah, which is a Mishnah Bava Basra. It goes for 5 lines and starts here, the quote of the Mishnah, we box it off. Here we go. When you have a person who sells oxen, they often are sold together in groups of two with the yoke, which kind of connects the two. So, machalos hatzemed, if you have a seller and he sold him the yoke, loy machalos habakar, that does not come with the oxen, or machalos habakar, if he sold the oxen, loy machalos hatzemed, he does not automatically get the yoke. Rabbi Yehuda, who we boxed oimer, Hadami Moidin. Well, it depends. Just look at how much money was paid for this. And Ketzad, how so? Well, Amar Loi. If the purchaser says, hey, sir, Machar li tzmidcha b'masayim zuz, you sell me your tzemed for 200 zuz, Hadavi Yadua, like everyone knows, Sheinat tzemed b'masayim zuz. It's like that's way too much money for it, and therefore we do not assume that the purchaser was meichel extra money. No, ain't adam emraya. That's not going to be a proof. Like, if they were specific in what was being bought and sold, fine, but otherwise that doesn't shed any light. That's the end of the Tanaic source. L'divrei chachamim, now we go to the chachamim, who Abaye told us that it would be forbidden to mix in the shmarim before you measured out for the person who just purchased it. Asalara Shmarim would be forbidden. Behainu Taima, and this is the reason, Delo Mikabel, that the one who's receiving it is not going to have to take 98.5% of what he paid for. Damarle, because he, the purchaser, can say, E bois li aruvi miavi sharlach. If you wanted to mix it up like a moment before you measured out for me, would you be allowed to? You're not allowed to. Hashanami, lo mikabilna. And you know what? Therefore, I am not going to accept 98.5% I paid. I want 100% of what I paid for. That is Abaye's analysis. Amale Rapapa. We have circles Rapapa. Rapapa says to Abaye, Adiraba, quite to the contrary, Ibcha Mistabra, the opposite seems to make more sense. And here's Rav Papa's analysis, colon. L'divrei Chachamim, I double end on the Chachamim according to the Chachamim. Their opinion seems to indicate that they would say mutalar ishmar would be permissible for the seller to mix back in the sediment right before he measures it out for the purchaser. Vahainu taima delay mekabel, and here's the reason why the purchaser is not necessarily going to have to accept only getting 98.5%. Da amarle, he, the purchaser, can say to the seller, well, listen, midalay arvisly, you didn't mix it up before. Achuli achlisli, that pretty clear that you were meichel it to me. Kama, l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, continues Rabbi Papa, and Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, also l'arev shmarim. Oh no, you're not allowed as the seller to mix in the shmarim. V'hainu tamad de makabel, and this is the reason. why the fellow who is going to receive his 98.5% takes it. Damarle, because the seller can say to him, hey, listen, buddy, Iboy Laruvi, Loishari li Laruvi lach. If I wanted to mix in the sediment, I couldn't do that. Kibuli loy mekablis. And now you tell me that you're not going to accept the 98.5%? Like, where do you think I get my profit margin from? Would you call somebody who buys an item and sells it for the exact same amount a good businessman? Zavun vizavin, one who buys and turns around and sells the same thing without a profit. Tagra ikri, you call that a businessman? That's basically a fool. Period. Tana, we have a little brisa. It goes all of five words. I boxed it off. Echad olekech v'echad amafkid lepekatim. I call this the number one brisa, and it says whether you are a purchaser or a depositor, you have to also take into account the pikatim. Rashi calls it the psoilus hagarinim, not the stuff that sinks to the bottom. This is the stuff that kind of like floats to the top, the residue, the ickies. And if you purchase oil, you also have to take a little bit of those ickies. Now, my lepikatim, what is that? Elema, I squiggle it on the elema. And two lines later, near the end of the line is an elo, we squiggle underline that. Elema ki hechi, if you want to say, it's just like loikeach loimekabel pikatim, just like a purchaser doesn't have to accept the, like the ickies floating at the top. Mafkid, so to someone who deposited nami loimekabel pikatim, well, lema lei, let the one who is watching this guy's oil say back to him, well, what am I supposed to do with your ickies? Pikatecha mayavilu. Ella. So I squiggle in on the ella. Ella ki hechi. It's the other way. Just like a mafkid, somebody who deposited oil with another person and then comes to get it, has to take his oil with his pikatim back. Mekalim pikatim. Loikeach nami. So to a purchaser, mekabel pikatim. Okay. It seems to be saying then, a loikeach, if you purchase oil, you have to understand you might have these ickies floating at the top. Really? Umi mekabel loikeach pikatim? Does a purchaser have to accept the oil with these ickies floating on the top? V'hatanya, we have a brisa. This goes for just over two lines, and we'll call it the number two brisa, and it seems to indicate otherwise. Rebbe Yehuda Imer. Loi amru shemen achor. They didn't say when it came to muddled, I guess that would be maybe oil with ickies, that the loss for muddled oil, ela lemeicher, that has to be taken by the seller bilvad, sharei loikeach, because the truth is that the purchaser, mekabla lav, he already accepts upon himself lugumechsa, 1.5% shmarim of dregs, below pikatim, without the ickies floating at the top. Okay? And therefore, you'd have to give him, like, pure oil without the ickies floating on top. So which way is it? Well, says the Gemara, it depends. Loikasha colon. And with this, we will conclude. Ha, I squiggle around the word ha, the first little five-word brisa that says that the purchaser gets the pikatim is the yoiv leizuzi betishrei. That's where the purchaser paid money for this commodity. In Tishrei, in the, we'll call it the low season, September, October, the Kashakal Mine Ben Nisan, and he is collecting it, though, in the high season, we'll call it maybe in April, Kimida de Tishrei, along with whatever the per unit price was in Tishrei time, which is basically cheaper, and that's why he has to accept it with the Pikatim, whereas Kama. Ha, I squiggle in on this word, ha, this would be the second Tanaic source, the one that was just like two, three lines ago, is the Yoiv Leizuzi Benisan. He's actually paying the higher per unit price in April, because Shaka Mine Benisan, and collecting it in Nisan, Kimida de Nisan, and therefore, basically, he's paying the higher rate. He's entitled to get it without the Pikatim. Adkan.